Marin Theater Company, where we performed for comedy for a month, and we're about to close, has two great things going for it. One is the loudest, greatest dive bar right across the street, the 2 a.m. Club, and artistic director Jason Minidakis, who brought us here for the second time in 2 decades. So thank you for having us back.
You're very welcome. Great to have you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 426, Marin Theater Company. Now that our 5-month UK tour of the complete history of Comedy Abridged is up and running, I can go back and share with you some podcasts I recorded in December of 2014, starting with this fantastic and incredibly loud conversation I had with Jason Minidakis, the artistic director of Marin Theater Company in Mill Valley, California. Jason started by telling me how long he'd been at Marin Theater Company, and I apologize in advance for all the shouting we needed to do.
I've been here about 8 or 9 years now. It was 2006 when I first came here.
And before that, where were you?
Before that, I was at the Actors Express in Atlanta, Georgia. And prior to that, I was at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Festival, which is where I met you guys back in 1998, I think.
Yeah.
When you guys were at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park.
That's right. So, and then since, now we know because we played the Complete History of Comedy Abridged. We premiered it at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. And now we played it here in Marin. Now, what kind of a challenge was it coming to Marin from Cincinnati? What are the differences?
Cincinnati was a very classic oriented town. Everything about that city, they have an opera, standing opera, they have a standing orchestra, they have a standing Lloyd Theater Company, they have a standing New Play Theater. It's all very classically based, and that was something that we found running a Shakespeare festival, that the city was very hungry for classical work all the time. San Francisco is, and the Bay Area is much more segmented. There's so much more theater here than there is in Cincinnati. We have 6 Lort theaters in the Bay Area, which is kind of unheard of. I mean, it's a lot of Lort theaters for one area. We've got the Oregon Shakespeare Festival that at least most of the theater goers in Marin go up there every summer, and that's where they go to get their classical Shakespeare, where they go to get that kind of work. We've got ACT in the city, which is a standing classical company. We've got Cal Shakes. We've got Marin Shakes. We've got a lot of classical work. So Marin Theater Company really specializes in new American work.
Okay. Well, and you're getting a national reputation for this. I'm not sure that MTC had that under your predecessor. How old is Marin Theater Company?
It'll be 49 years next year. We're 48 this year.
Oh my God. Okay. So you'll be 50 in 2017.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, 50th is coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, very soon.
So what is, I mean, we have found it to be a challenge performing comedy, vaudeville comedy, improv comedy for the very, what shall I say, serious symphony-going audiences of MTC. What's it like programming plays for them? Do they like comedies here, or do they want the more serious stuff?
They want comedies, but I think what they really want is they want to understand the deeper thing that's underneath the comedy. They want to be engaged by it. They want to have people make them laugh about something very serious.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, I think what's working in this show the best with them is when you're dealing with really serious material and you're using the comedy to highlight an issue.
Yeah.
I think the Israel-Palestine piece is probably one of both the most successful for us, but also probably one of the more controversial.
Yeah.
For some of our audience that are either extremely pro-Israel or extremely pro-Palestine,
right,
which we have both in our audience.
Yeah.
The Marin audience, one of the things that we've always thought we should do as a as an advertising thing to make people, to let people know what they're going to see, is to say, do you read the New York Times? Do you read the New Yorker? Do you listen to NPR? You'll like Marin Theater Company. Because a lot of the work that we do tends to be issue-driven in that way. Even the comedies that we do tend to be very issue-driven. And people kind of come to our theater to think. We do Q&As nightly after all of the performances. For the next show, we're actually adding to that and starting pre-show lectures for every single performance. So we're going to be setting the stage a little bit for the audience, because the next play is about the founding of the area that would become Zimbabwe. So we're trying to give them a little bit of background of where they are in time and where they are on the continent and what's going on at the time when the play takes place, and then we'll do a Q&A afterwards.
I feel kind of bad. We're not doing any Q&As.
Well, you know, what we found here is that what our audiences want to do is they really want to figure out how to have a vocabulary about the play.
Yeah.
And the staff very much felt like this was one of the types of plays where they have the vocabulary to deal with what they're going to have.
Right.
We've actually been surprised that in some ways audiences have been more perplexed by this show than perhaps we thought they would be.
Right.
And I think they know the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged very, very well. And it's because they know Shakespeare very well.
Yes.
I wonder if there's actually a comedy thing, because I think where they're perhaps reacting differently to this play is where the comedy is more of a physical style of comedy.
Yeah.
Or where you're actually exploring the history of the, for lack of a better word, of some of the more sophomoric styles of comedy, of body humor, of, you know, that kind of humor, because there's a history of that that you need to explore in a show like this, but I wonder if our audience is actually pulling back from it a little bit.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. I think the style of vaudeville requires a kind of, hey, remember vaudeville? You know, it's physical, it's intellectual, it's scatological, it's smart, it's verbal. You know, also in the Bay Area, you know, we've lost recently the San Jose Repertory Theater, which there's been a lot of conversations across the country. There have been other theaters that have been shutting down. And people are saying, well, people want to see themselves on the stage. But you were telling us that your audience actually doesn't want to see rich white people plays. They like to see plays about different cultures, African-American culture, and these are some of your biggest sellers. I think that's enormously encouraging.
It's been really surprising. Our audiences have basically told us, take us somewhere else, show us someone we don't know, let us walk a different path when we go to the theater. We don't go to the theater to see ourselves reflected on stage. We don't need to see ourselves reflected on stage. We want to go somewhere else. So when we do plays from different cultures, different eras, dealing with different issues than what our patrons have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, those are the shows that tend to do better for us in terms of bodies and tickets sold. And feedback, honestly, the shows that people are telling us they want to see more of that.
I think that's so encouraging if that were true nationally. I don't know whether it is true nationally. This seems unique to me.
I don't know either. I feel very lucky to be here.
Yeah.
And it's been an interesting ongoing conversation with the audience to try to figure out what is actually pushing them. Because one of the things that we found, and this may be something that we're encountering with this show as well, this audience is more challenged by form than they are by content.
Interesting.
Yeah, so with you could say that the show that you guys are doing has a form that once you kind of get adjusted to it, it's pretty set. But I actually think you're changing the form pretty much with every piece inside the show.
Right.
So that may actually be something that my audience is having a bit of a challenge adjusting to as well.
Interesting. Well, I mean, if all of that is true, then your next show, the 3-hour and 20-minute epic about the founding of Rhodesia and then Zimbabwe, which is now Zimbabwe, is going to be a massive hit.
Let's see. Well, I hope so.
Hey there, this is Neil LaBute, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our 81-city UK and Ireland tour of the Complete History of Comedy Abridged continues this week with performances in Ayr, Durham, Hexham, Kendal, Sale, and Southport, then continuing around the countries to Salford, Inverness, Stirling, Middlesbrough, Bromsgrove, Shrewsbury, Nottingham, Barnsley, Loughborough, Tewkesbury, Melton Mowbray, Yeovil, Chatham, Worthing, Canterbury, Bedford, Neathport, Talbot, Newtown, Hedge End, Stourport, Cardiff, Hemel Hempstead, Lincoln, Peterborough, Harlow, Christchurch, Andover, Colchester, Hartford, Hereford, High Wycombe, Swindon, Cardigan, Brecon, Llanelli, which apparently you can't say without sounding like Gollum or Smaug, Camberley, Grantham, Harrogate, Solihull, Ludlow, Exeter, Galway, Newton Abbey, Downpatrick, Derry, Londonderry, Westacre in Norfolk, Wakefield, Barnstable, Blackwood, Chipping Rorton, Pershore, Hounslow, Basingstoke, Guildford, Tenterden, Banbury, Derby, Bolton, Wolverhampton, Worcester, Dumfries, and Stranraer. Plus, we've added a new date in June in Oxford. We'll also have a few dates in the U.S. later this spring, plus more U.S. dates this summer and fall, which we will add to our website as soon as we nail them down. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jason Minidakis, Artistic Director of Marin Theater Company. For this part, I was joined by Reed Martin, who led off the next round of questions.
So while we were here, you invited theater artists who have worked at your theater over the last however many years, 2 years, to come. You wanted to talk to them and you wanted to hear from them. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was and how it all came to be?
Yeah, we called it our first annual community artist forum, where we invited everybody who'd worked with the organization for the past 2 years to come into the theater and for me to tell everybody in my words what the organization's mission was, how we were interpreting the mission at the moment, what it meant in terms of our programming, what it meant in terms of the future of our programming, because we've really begun focusing on new American work. And to really broadly represent new American work, we've had to really stretch the type of plays that we've been doing, which has proved somewhat challenging to be able to offer as many roles as we have in the past for Bay Area artists. The Bay Area acting community is very deep and very diverse, but certain areas within that community are not as deep in terms of the sheer number of actors as it may be in other communities, and we have had to go out of town more than what we're comfortable doing. So we want to have a dialogue with our artists to let them have a say in the type of work that we're doing, and to, if at the very least, have them understand why we're making the choices that we are in terms of plays. Because this year, I actually had to sit down with a couple of actors that have been doing two or three shows with us each season, and I literally had to say, you are in the 30 to 40 year old white male roles. I have one in six plays this year. That's it. So you don't actually, and it's a 650 pound man. So a lot of you aren't going to be able to audition for this role. And I wanted to be able to continue that conversation with them so that they felt and feel invested in the organization and in the work that we're doing and feel like they have a voice, even if there's not necessarily a role.
I think that's so great, because I live in Chicago now, where the theater community is so tight and so strong, and every theater supports every other theater. This sounds like an attempt to kind of do that, you know, to keep the artistic company, even though you're not an ensemble driven, to keep the artistic community as part of. So you're answering not only to the artistic community, but also to your board of directors and your subscribers. You look surprisingly healthy for a man pulled in so many directions.
I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old at home that kind of keep me balanced. So, it's we're very lucky here that the artists that are trying to make it work in the Bay Area, for this to be their home, they really care about the institutions, and if you invite them in and ask for their opinion, they are more than willing to give you their time and give you their thoughts, just so long as you listen to them. So it's been really helpful.
I just admired it. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and I thought it was brave of you I don't know if you feel that way, but it's like, here's the three pillars, which you can talk about, how we're building this theater, and here are the directions you're going, and we'd like to hear what we're doing well, but more importantly, we'd like to hear what you think we could do better. And that could open up a whole can of worms. Now, clearly people love working at Marin Theater Company. People did share concerns, but it was all very respectful, and I think they just felt empowered and very happy to be included. I just thought it was wonderful.
Well, I hope so, and we learned some really valuable things that night. I mean, hearing from actors that if there was any way we could keep all the rehearsals to 6 hours, that they would rather not stretch it to 8 hours, and they would actually rather add a week of rehearsal, which I always thought, working for the salary that we're able to pay, I always thought keep the rehearsal process short and maximize the hours. But what I was hearing from them was they would actually rather have another week of rehearsal, even on the pay that, you know, we're not the top Lord scale, we're D, so there's a lot of room for us to grow in terms of what we pay our actors weekly. And they were literally saying, we'd rather you, knowing what you pay, we'd rather you give us an extra week than work us more hours per week. So that was an interesting thing to learn.
That's how we rehearse too, 6 hours a day. We just find we got nothing left in the tank. And these people are also commuting, I'm assuming.
That's right. And so that's a big part of it for them, is the 8 or 9 hour rehearsal day, actually you add on another hour in both directions.
Yeah. You talked at the meeting about the three sort of pillars you're building the theater on. Can you talk about that a little?
Absolutely. So there's the main stage work that we're doing, which is very much new American plays. There's a lot of development work that we're doing there. We're going into the 8th or 9th year of our New American Play Prizes, which we've been giving out annually, that are funded by Norton J. Sky Cooper. One is a $10,000 prize to anybody, any play, well-known playwright, brand new playwright. It's just for the single best play that we get. And then we have a second prize that's a $2,500 prize, and that's for the best play that we read from a playwright who's never had any of their plays have an Equity production. So we're trying to find both the best play and we're trying to find the best unknown playwright every year that we can in America. And we've been very lucky. We found The Whale by Samuel Hunter. We found Char White, who's recently had 3 different shows on Broadway. We found Frances Cowig. It's been a really exciting journey for us. And so that's our main stage body of work. But then we're also starting to do theater for young audiences. And at the moment, we're growing that area, and we're trying to do more new American scripts by young emerging American playwrights. A lot of TYA is built off of the classic children's books, but we're also trying to begin commissioning young writers to actually write scripts for young audiences. So that's where the new work is branching off into the TYA, which in Marin County, and specifically in Mill Valley, we have a big part of our population is young families, and the parents don't have the money or the time to be going to the theater at night, because it's the theater ticket, it's the babysitter, it's the dinner out, if you can afford it. And what we're trying to do is keep those families involved through their kids, and hopefully finding a way we can do both, where we can get their kids and them in the theater to maybe see different shows at the exact same time. And then the final pillar of it is what we're calling our community engagement piece, which is the Q&As, the pre-show lectures, but also, perhaps more importantly, we're going to start doing playmaking in communities where we don't, where there are not a lot of traditional theater goers. So I sort of believe that the American theater has been trying for the past 10, 15 years to build theater goers out of people who've never been theater goers. And I find that a little difficult when all other marketing tells us that after the age of 40, people's buying habits are made. So we're basically saying, all right, well, if that's the case, let's go out into communities and start making theater, telling their stories in their communities, and seeing if we can get them interested in theater from doing it. And maybe down the road, we'll get them to come try out a professional theater show. But more importantly, hopefully they'll start start doing theater, and maybe they'll get their kids involved so that those kids start learning to do theater and actually going to the theater and perhaps becoming lifelong patrons. And
Well, it's just so valuable in so many ways what you're doing, and it brings me back again to San Jose Rep. They were in the heart of Silicon Valley, one of the wealthiest areas of the country, and they couldn't get support for their professional theater. And I have to think, this is a completely uneducated guess, I have to think that somehow we're not training that next group of young millionaires that theater is a valuable thing.
Right.
And I think your theater for young audiences is developing that next group of not performers, not professional actors, thank God, but professional future audiences and future funders.
Yeah, theater hobbyists are what we're trying to create.
Yeah.
I'm not actually interested in theater users, that new term that's come up, where who are the people that come once or twice a year. I'd actually like to really focus on creating theater hobbyists, people who do it as a hobby, where they're really going to invest in it and they're going to want to do it more than once or twice. And really, I want people that are going to do it at more than one theater. That's really the most important thing for me. I'm looking for people who really want a variety of theatrical experience, because I think that's where the American theater's headed, and we have to bring the audiences with us.
Well, and that's a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, what's good for you is good for the entire Theater Bay Area, entire theater across the country.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your prizes for playwrights via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, issue-driven Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Alyssa Michaud. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to not-terribly-emerging playwright Neil LaBute. Thanks also to Jason Menadakis for not only having us as part of his season, but for spending some of his incredibly busy time with us. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 126 1278ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
It's amazing the work that you do, and I hope that Reed and I can now write a play that is both serious enough and formal and structured enough in a way that your audience will appreciate and understand.
I think that's exciting. I'm looking forward to talking to you about it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.